Turn your Bible with you. If you've got a Bible with you, you've got a phone, an iPad, you got your Bible with you. It's great to bring a Bible to church, you know that? And something we always used to do. But trouble is now we've got this thing on the screen and people think they don't need to bring their Bible anymore. And, you know, it gets all a bit lazy, really. You love your Bibles? You love the Word of God? And we've got to maintain our love for the Word of God. We've got to maintain our love for truth. Because in those scriptures, you find who you are, who you were before you came to Christ, and then you start to see who you are. And without the Word of God, we can have a bit of a glimpse of who we are, but without that Word being established in us, when we turn away and go away, we forget what manner of man we are, and we start behaving like the old man again. And so it's really important to be looking into the Word of God and seeing who you are. Because that is your true mirror. Okay? Who you are in Christ is your true mirror. And it's important to look into that mirror. Observe what manner of man you are. It's the perfect law of liberty. And we look into that Word and we see what manner of man we are now in Christ. What manner of woman you are in Christ. I can't say we are. You are in Christ. And then because that gets engrafted into us, when we're not looking and staring into it literally, we're not forgetting what manner of man we are, what manner of woman we are. We're called, we're missionaries, we are advanced party kingdom people, we are not advanced party as in the political party, I'm talking about advanced party kingdom of God. We're the advanced party, you hear what I'm saying? We're the beachhead. We're the ones establishing in the kingdom of God things on earth whereby then can flow out into the nations to bring transformation to people's lives. We're the advanced party. In that sense, don't get confused with the other lot. And so Isaiah chapter 9 says this, verse 6 to 7, very famous passage. Father, we just want to thank you now for the power of your word. The word delivers, your word heals, your word transforms, your word renews, your word convicts. Your word teaches, your word instructs, your word empowers, and your word reveals. So today, Lord, as we honor your word, we just want to thank you for the power of your grace and the power of your word. We want to thank you, Lord, that your word becomes engrafted into us when we work with it, we honor it, and we respect it. And Father, we just want to respect your word today. We honor it above all word, above every word that's ever been written by anybody, we honor this word above everything else. So we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. While we're doing that, just begin to put those buckets around ground, if you will. Like, for those who have come to give this morning, God bless you as you have. Those who give by automatic payment, God bless you. It just really does help with stability and flow in that sense. But connect your faith with it. And Father, we just want to thank you as these tithes and offerings are being given and dedicated to you. I just want to thank you for blessing every household. Every household having a release into it. That'll open revelation to them, rebuke the devourer, and Lord, see wonderful things take place. We want to thank you in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born. You know, people are hanging Christmas decorations already. We went about three weeks ago, we went past a sign on Halsall Junction Road, and somebody was putting up a sign advertising some Christmas carol event. And it was still just about snowing. Felt like this is still winter and people are putting Christmas things up. It felt like people are saying, I want this year to be over. I want it to be Christmas already. I want this year to be over. Well, it's not quite over yet. And who knows what 2021 will be like. Hallelujah. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. There are groups of people who are extremely disturbed if their favorite party doesn't get in. Because they think that by the institution of laws by political parties, that that's what brings the kingdom. I want to tell you, my friends, the kingdom is advancing on us. The kingdom is being released on us. The kingdom has been given to us. The kingdom is not to do with a political party. The kingdom is not to do with a natural government. Plenty of natural governments have been dead opposed to the advance of the kingdom of God, and yet the kingdom of God advances anyway, because the kingdom of God is about the hearts of men and women. The kingdom of God is about your faith. They can lock you up, they can take you away, they can cut bits off your body, but they can't rip that faith out of your heart, because that heart, that faith has been revealed to you by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and many generations have discovered that understanding. So we are not shaken. What we are, though, is we want to make sure we're focused properly on the mission that God has given us, on the co-mission, on the fact that we are proclaimers of the gospel. We're not proclaimers of any other message. We're proclaimers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of his kingdom. It's the gospel of healing and deliverance. We're all part of the one gospel. And when Jesus was standing there just before he ascended, he gave those disciples who received the command on our behalf, because that command that they were given was for every generation of believers through history. And he gave the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. I want to tell you, my friends, the church has got to stay true to its mission. It's got to stay true to its calling. The reason you and I haven't gone home yet is because still we haven't quite fulfilled our mission. The reason you're still breathing air and doing other things is because your mission is not finished. We don't lose sight of the mission. You and I were not saved to be churchgoers. You and I were saved to be kingdom ministers, to be people who are yielded to the Lordship of Jesus, filled with the Spirit, and freely we've received, freely give. And that giving has no barrier. That release of the love of God has no barrier. It doesn't matter what political persuasion, what sexual orientation. It doesn't matter what a person is. There is no barrier to that love that flows from yours and my life. Because freely we've received, freely give. We must stay true to the mission. Because the mission is absolutely critical. The government, the kingdom government, the kind of government that sets people free of horrendous torment, the kind of government that causes cancers to shrivel and legs that were not there to appear, the kind of government that puts eyeballs back into people's heads who never had them, the kind of government that restores a fractured relationship, the kind of government that takes somebody so burdened down with sin and grief and guilt and lifts that off them and gives them the peace of God, that government is upon a shoulder. And that government will know no end. And the increase of that government, there shall be no end. I want to tell you, my friends, things come and go. Prime ministers come and go. Ministers of this and ministers of that come and go, but one thing does not go, and that's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, my friends, it was Jesus Christ that lifted me out of that despair and that discouragement and that sense of a depression about the future. Because even though I was raised in a pretty great family, really, in a number of regards, and my mum and dad loved the Lord to the level of revelation they had, and they set some wonderful example for me. There was still fear about the future, because in my school days, it was all about how many times the world could be destroyed by nuclear weapons. 270 times over, I think, was the number. Once is enough. We were going with the pollution issue, the running out of fuel issue. Till I haven't run out of fuel yet. Of course, then they'll use diesel to generate electricity, charge your electric car. I'm not opposed to electric cars at all, quite excited about them. Mine's not electric. It's got electric doors, windows. But here's the deal. There's all this go-round with ideas and philosophies. There's all these manipulations and things that go on with people manipulating the crowd to go this way and manipulating the crowd to go that way. But there's one thing that remains. That's the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who once was dead, but now is alive. And he's alive forevermore. And that Jesus, that same Jesus that rose on that day, and that cloud it sort of covered him up as he went to a certain altitude, is coming again. I'm going to read out of this book. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to be all over the place this morning. That's not unusual. He's just talked about them needing to go to Jerusalem to wait for a particular day called the Day of Pentecost, where the fulfillment of this feast, this celebration that they would have every year that celebrated the giving of the law on Mount Sinai for Israel, they would go to that place, and Jesus said, wait there until you receive the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, the power of God will come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. To the end of the earth. In verse 9 it says, and when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood in white garments, two angels stood there. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. That is an absolute statement. It's not something you spiritualize. It's not something you try and interpret in light of other scriptures to get its meaning. They were standing there, having gone through the wonderful time of Jesus developing ministry and popularity, went through the hard time of his rejection and persecution, went through the soul-shattering time of the rejection of Israel and the crucifixion of Jesus, went through the mourning and the grief of not knowing what the future would bring, and then the amazing, stunning reality that this Jesus they saw crucified, nailed to a cross, and giving all his lifeblood, was now resurrected and alive, and now meeting with them and teaching them about the kingdom. Now they're standing there after having been taught about the kingdom, and they're standing there watching a literal flesh and bones Jesus who is resurrected but has flesh and bones ascend into heaven, ascend into the heavenly realm. A cloud comes around them, whether that was just a cloud that happened to be going by, whether there's something else in that cloud, I don't know. People have speculated. Or whether it was just a supernaturally generated cloud for theatrical effect. I don't know. But then two angels stood in white apparel. Two men in white apparel stood there. Said, men of Galilee. Hey, you guys. Why are you standing looking up into heaven? Well, ask the question. I mean, we don't see this every day. He's just given us these commands. We're going to go off to Jerusalem. He's just given, I mean, yes, we're looking into heaven. Well, stop looking up into heaven. Not telling you to stop looking up into heaven. The angel said to these guys, stop looking up into heaven. This same Jesus. Say after me, same Jesus. Not a spiritualized Jesus. Not a Jesus that is made up of everybody on earth that's in Christ Jesus, but the literal flesh and bones, the one who ascended, Jesus. Some people say, well, the return of Jesus is all about the body reaching maturity, the body of Christ reaching maturity, and that's the coming of the Lord. Rubbish. That's spiritualizing a plain statement that doesn't need to be spiritualized. That's taking a plain statement that angels said, and those angels were there by permission and commission of the Father. They were sent to give the Galileans or the disciples the ones who stood there representing all generations of believers, because they were to teach us everything they were commanded. Everything they commanded, they were to pass on to us. But what the church has done through the years, and well-meaning people and misguided people have done through the years, is they've taken things, twisted things, tried to put them into what their mind could conceive and what their hearts could cope with, and therefore created ideas about Jesus that are not biblical. I'll tell you what's biblical. This same Jesus who ascended into heaven in bodily form is coming in bodily form. He's going to have the same scars. He's going to have scars on his head. He's going to have scars on his back. He's going to have a sword wound in his side. He's going to have holes in his hands and his feet. The same one that he said, Thomas, put your finger into my hand. Put your hand into my side. Those scars, because he's a lamb on the throne right now, looking like he's been slain. So if anybody comes up to you and tries, some cult leader comes up to you and tries to convince you that they know who Jesus is, or he's living somewhere in Europe or China or somewhere, and you need to follow that man, ask him whether he's got scars. Somebody you're watching on YouTube that's making themselves out to be the Messiah, then it'll happen. See if you can find out whether they've got any scars that look anything like the scars that Jesus has got. I guarantee they won't have any. Because cult leaders are interested in themselves and themselves only. Jesus is our suffering servant, who's our King of Kings. This same Jesus who ascended into heaven with flesh and bones. When they thought he was a ghost in one appearing, they said, look, reach out and touch me. I've got flesh and bones. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. Jesus has got flesh and bones. I'm talking about Jesus here. And this same Jesus that ascended is coming back in like manner. That means he's going to descend. Have you ever gone up on a lift? The only way down is to come down on the lift. You ascended. And the same Harry, the same George, the same Marjorie, the same Colin, the same Stan descended in that lift. Well, it's a little bit like that. See, we're not well. That was just a little aside. But I'm concerned about some of the woolly thinking that's creeping in here and there and trying to water down the power of the resurrection and the power of his return. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I want to tell you, my friends, the issues of the kingdom of God are not all dependent on us. There is a theology that says that God doesn't do anything more now. He's done everything he's ever going to do. In terms of salvation, and now it's the church that prays everything into existence. It's the church that does everything. I want to tell you, my friends, I think that's a heavy burden. This statement right here contradicts that idea. I totally believe in pride. I believe in decrees. I believe in commanding things. I believe in commanding this and commanding that when it's our calling to do it. I believe in asking God for things. I believe in asking God for direction. I believe in all of the dimensions of prayer. But what I'm saying is this: there are certain things that God has already established in his heart that he will do. And it says right here, for the zeal, what is the zeal? The passion, the conviction, the commitment, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So don't be saying in your mind right now, well, I prayed this and I prayed that and it didn't work. God's got an agenda and he's working it. There are some things that the Holy Spirit moves on us with that we don't even know how to pray. We don't even know how to put language to it. All we've got is the stuff going on inside of these groanings going on inside of it, because the Holy Spirit, who knows the deep things of the heart of God and our heart, he is interceding for us and in us. We don't even know how to put language to it. I want to tell you, my friends, the zeal of the Lord is going to perform this. It's not all up to you. Because if it was all up to us, it would all happen differently. The way Wayne might ask for something to happen might be different to the way Murray might ask for it, and the way Stan might ask for it might be something different to the way Kimberly asked for it, but the zeal of the Lord will perform this. People say, well, Jesus is going to come back a certain way, this way. And then others say, no, it's going to be this way. Others say, no, it's already happened. Others say, no, it's all in the future. Others say, no, it's all in the past. The zeal of the Lord is going to perform this. We are living in amazing, accelerating times. In the kingdom of God, the dimensions of the Spirit of God are accelerating. Revelation and understanding is accelerating. People's lives and growth and maturity is accelerating. You'll see young people who are only saved for a month doing stuff that you didn't even dream of doing in 5 years. Because there's acceleration going on. But also there's an acceleration of what darkness is wanting to try and achieve. Because things are coming to a culmination. When that culmination is, I don't know. All I know is that the manifestation of evil is getting, there is thick, gross darkness that is developing. But I want to tell you this, it shows into incredible contrast the power and the light of the glory of God and the truth of his word. I want to tell you, my friends, the key thing we have to do is make sure it's glory growing in us and not darkness. John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 6. New King James Version, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be with me also. And where I go, you know. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. This tricked them. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But at the beginning of that statement, or that phase of his statements, he said, let not your heart be troubled. They were coming into the most troubling, perplexing time of their lives. But he said to them, let not your heart be troubled. There's people here today, your heart may be troubled. You're very uncertain about the future. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You might be concerned about political agendas and various things like that, and UN agendas and all sorts of agendas. You may be troubled. I want to say, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You want to obey Jesus or not? Do we want to obey Jesus or not? Don't let your heart be troubled. So he was saying to his disciples that were coming up to a very tough time, don't let your heart be troubled. So in other words, it's quite possible for our hearts to be troubled. But we've got the governance over that. We have. There are times I just turn certain things off. Times I just don't connect with certain news feeds. Because right now it's not a time for my heart to start getting troubled. I'm about to go to bed. I want to sleep. I'm not gonna look at the latest opinion on this and that and the next thing and what somebody's saying on Facebook or whatever. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. I'm going to let my heart just focus on the Lord or focus on something really nice and sweet and come into a place of rest. You've got the governance over a lot of stuff that impacts your heart. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Those of you who are addicted to Facebook or whatever other feed, I'm not saying that sarcastically, I'm saying that in reality. Don't let that thing be the governance of your heart and your mind. You take dominion over it. G'day, John. God bless you, buddy. Take dominion over it. And don't let your heart be troubled. Because we can let it be troubled, all right? Got to read these last two, this last passage, and then we're going to finish. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. I'm going to shorten this verse up for the sake of time. Luke chapter 12, verse 32, do not fear, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There's a lot of verses around that. We could spend a lot of time in those verses and be wonderful. But there's that straight statement, do not fear, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the king's domain. In the king's domain, there is actually true peace. In the king's domain, there is freedom from demonic oppression. In the king's domain, there is healing for our natural bodies. In the kingdom domain, there is revelation of his kindness, his goodness, his power, his greatness, and the fear of God. In the king's domain, there is forgiveness of sins and mercy. In the king's domain, there is the fruit of the Spirit. In the king's domain, there is the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, word of knowledge, prophecy, so on and so on and so forth. In the king's domain, there is the king's presence. In the king's domain, there is power to overcome. In the king's domain, there is the revelation of a new identity as a son or a daughter of God. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. In the king's domain, there is all the character and nature of God in terms of his redemption power manifest ready for you. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In the king's domain, there is true justice. In the king's domain, there is true mercy. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then I'm going to finish on that verse I read earlier on in Hebrews chapter 12, out of the Passion Translation. We look away from the natural realm. And we fasten our gaze onto Jesus who birthed faith within us and who leads us to forward into faith's perfection. His example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, or the joy set before him. He translates the joy of knowing that you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation. And now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who opposed their own souls, so that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures. Let's all stand. For some of you, you've been able to follow a thread. For some of you, it's been all over the place, but maybe there's something that's touched your heart, something that's brought some encouragement or something that's brought some reorientation. So, Father, right now, I thank you for every person in this place and everybody who may watch on live stream. Father, I want to thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, you're never changing. God, you're the God who doesn't change, lest Jacob be destroyed. Father, we thank you that our great anchor is the fact that Jesus has gone to that cross, became sin for us, was judged as us, died and was buried. But on the third day, by the power of the Holy Spirit, was resurrected and raised to life. Not with the kind of body that could ever die again, but a glorified, resurrected, all-reigning, all-conquering body. Then he came out of that tomb, appeared to up to 500 witnesses over that next 40 days. And then, at the right time, at the appropriate time, amongst his friends, amongst the 12 and others, he ascended into glory in bodily form. How that all works is a mystery to us. But you're God and we're not. And the angel stood and said, "Don't look up into heaven any longer, men of Galilee, but this same Jesus who went up into heaven is coming in like manner. Now get on and do." I'm going to add this. They didn't say it, but this is what was inferred. "Now get on and do what he's asked you to do." Lord, while the earth waits for your return, whether it waits with fear, whether it waits with anticipation, or is simply ignorant of the fact that you're coming again, Lord, I pray right now that the body of Christ would be at peace and established and strong in the knowledge that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that eventually all the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. That you are returning, Lord. But in the meantime, you've given us a mission called the co-mission. In other words, just the mission with you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those who believe will be saved. Those who do not will be damned. And so, Father, that's our mission. So today, we just want to be a people committed to the mission. But we're in the mission of the resurrected King, who birthed faith in us, and the one we look to. Father, I thank you right now for a shift of focus. Wherever the focus needs to be shifted, release your grace to shift the focus. In Jesus' powerful name. Maybe you're in this place, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You haven't really known a lot of what I've been talking about, but there's been something going on in your heart. I'm going to invite you to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King that was raised and the King that is coming. I'm going to invite you to submit your life to him. Ask him to forgive you of your sin and ask him to come into your life to be your Lord. If you want to do that right now, I'm going to ask you to come up. I'm not going to say lift your hands, but I do want to say this. Ask the person next to you, and I'm serious about this. Ask the person next to you whether they would like you to come with them, just to give them courage. Just ask that person next to you, "Would you like me to come with you?" You may not know that person. Ask them, "Would you like me to come with you?" You might just clinch the deal for them. I'm going to give us 30 seconds to a minute, because you will know if you want to come and receive Christ or not. You will know. So, Father, as we finish here today, just with an opportunity to receive you, I thank you for your great kindness moving on every heart. And just as we look at the camera, I don't know, is it this one? You may be online, you may be wanting to pray this with me. You may be wanting to pray this with me. We're going to all pray here together now. You're going to pray after me. I'm going to pray, and if you follow me in prayer, giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. I thank you that Jesus is your Son, that he died on a cross for me, took all the judgment I deserved, that I can now be your child, completely forgiven and part of your family. Lord, come into my life. I forgive those who have hurt me just as you've forgiven me. And Father, right now, I welcome you into my life. Be my Father. Be my Lord. Make me part of your family. Fill me with your Spirit. Open your Word up to me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If you prayed that online with us, please get in touch with us. We'd love to be able to help you in the days ahead. God bless you. Right, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Let's bless him. Let's thank you, Lord. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all of your goodness to us. We bless your beautiful name. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for coming. Show yourself to somebody friendly that you haven't met before. You are able to meet out there for a while. I think there might be a cup of tea and that sort of thing out there. Is that right? And hang out there. The next people that come into the next service will be coming in a little bit. God bless you. Have an awesome life.